You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Good morning, church. How are we today? I have to warn you, I'm a bit of a radical preacher. I need you to talk to me this morning. Amen. I need you to talk to me. Let's preach together the word of God. Thank you so much. I want to honor firstly God. The reason why I can even stand where I am is because of his grace. Amen. Could you also allow me to honor my husband, Robert? Hallelujah. I say it that God has enabled me to win a jackpot. Come on, somebody. In the husband's department, him and I have got three beautiful children, age 15, age 7, and also 3 years. And I know people ask me, how do you look so young? I say, I take the blood of Jesus. Amen. So we thank God for that. But also I want to honor your leadership in this house. Pastor Bean, we salute the work that you're doing. Mama Tran, God bless you. You know, a soldier recognizes a soldier because ministry is not for the faint-hearted. Amen. So we give God the glory for that. Amen, church. Today, God has given me the opportunity to share with you his word. I'm going to be able to read with us and we will preach together and seek the Lord as to what he's speaking to Sun Life Church this morning for such a time as this, because the Lord is faithful. So let's just, if you can, turn with me to the word of God. Straight into it, because I'm also mindful of time. In the book of Luke chapter 8, I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. If you're following me, Luke chapter 8, we're going to be reading from verse 40 till the end of the chapter. The word of God says to us, "So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood," can you just tell your neighbor, livelihood, "on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, 'Master, the multitude throng and press you, and you say, who touched me?' But Jesus said, 'Somebody touched me, for I have perceived power going out from me.' Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, 'Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace.' While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, 'Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher.' But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, 'Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well.' When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go." Just bear with me. I'll just read verse 50 for a second. "But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, 'Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well.' When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her. But he said, 'Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping.' And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all aside, took her by the hand and called, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat, and her parents were astonished. But he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Would you just pray with me? Father, it is an absolute privilege to be your servant and to share your word. I do not take it for granted. My heart's cry is that you will take the glory in this place and that you would speak to somebody this morning so that our lives will be empowered and impacted by the truth of your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'll just flip this back up if you don't mind. Amen. God is good. I'll share a little bit of my story and I'll get right into the word of God. Today's word is actually very personal because it's a word that the Lord had given to me a number of years. So my husband and I, we have the privilege of leading a church, founding a church called Voice of Hope Church, which sits under the umbrella of Voice of Hope International Ministries, where we've got the privilege of leading four campuses, one in Joondalup and three in Uganda, Africa. So I grew up in a very impoverished family, very disadvantaged, and my family and I came to Australia in July of 2005, where we had to leave everything behind because of tribal and political conflict. And the Lord brought us here in Australia for a purpose and for a reason, and the Lord had called me into ministry. And when I had met my husband, he's always been into leadership of the church. And him and I have had the passion to be able to serve God. But our heart is to see women's lives transformed, women's lives impacted. So the sermon this morning is titled, Bruised But Not Broken. Come on, somebody. I might be bruised, but I'm not broken. That's our message for this morning. I want to present to you two stories that are juxtaposed in this text. We have a woman with the issue of blood, and the Bible says to us that she has been suffering with nonstop bleeding for 12 years. And we also have next to that story, a story of a girl who's 12 years old, who is also in a critical situation, and she happens to be Jairus' daughter. So what happens is, if you know the context of this story, Jairus is a leader in the local synagogue. And many Jewish were opposed to Jesus and his ministries in this day and age. And his only daughter was dying, and Jairus had recognized that he was in a desperate situation that required supernatural intervention. Hallelujah, somebody. So what we see here is that we see now the woman with the issue of blood is also a daughter of Jesus who also needs Jesus Christ's attention. So this woman is in the crowd and she suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. And she had no choice but to do something to be able to reach and have an encounter with Jesus. The Bible says this to you and I. She touched the fringe of his robe and immediately the bleeding stops. I want to present to us four key points that the Lord had spoken to me for me to share with you this morning. The first point is she's not known by her name, but she's known by her situation. Hallelujah. Do you know somebody with a situation? Hallelujah, somebody. There are many people who have been labeled, but the circumstances that they are facing, that their identity is wrapped into what they've gone through rather than who they really are. Come on, somebody. Because there are too many daughters of the king who have allowed labels that are presented to them to limit their ability and their identity in Christ. Come on, somebody. I said I'm a radical preacher. Talk to me now. If you are hearing what the Lord is saying to me, just say amen where you are. Come on, somebody. Because what we are seeing here is that we are seeing a situation that has wrapped this woman around where she's not known by. The truth is, the Bible doesn't say what her name is, but we know she's a woman who suffered with an issue. Hallelujah, somebody. Could it be that you are labeled by what you've gone through as God's daughter, as a divorcee, as a single mother, as a cancer patient, as a woman who has gone through so much pain. What is your name, ladies, this morning? What have you allowed to label you? I do understand there are situations that we go through. I don't know what your Bible says, but in my Bible, in the book of John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus Christ warns us that in this life we will face tribulations, but there is hope because he says, be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Come on, somebody. It is good news for you and I because the truth is as long as you're alive, you will face tribulations. And we say to the church, the person without a problem is under the grave. Come on, somebody. Oh, they will not have a problem if they've ended up in heaven. Come on, somebody. Oh, I hope you still love me in this place. Come on, somebody. I want to remind someone this morning, a daughter of the King, as to who you are. Because if you allow your situation to label who you are, you will limit your ability to become who God created you to be. Because you and I are only labeled by what the Word of God says to you and I. Because that's the blueprint for your life. It's the blueprint for my life. Because it is the manual that we have to live by. Does somebody understand what I'm saying? This is what the Word of God says. Can I just speak the Word of God over you? I'm going to paraphrase it. Because in my Bible, Isaiah 40, 29 says, he gives power to the weak. Come on, somebody. And increases your strength. It means when I am weak, I know I am strong. Because the Lord who lives in me is far greater than the one who lives in the world. The Bible says to me in the book of Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. This is the promises that God has for you. It says the Lord will go before you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, come on. Joshua 1:9 says to you and I, be strong and courageous. Oh, do not be afraid. The book of Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 to 6. These are scriptures that we know well, but do we truly live by them and understand the power that they have in us to transform us and to live the life that God has called us to live? The Word of God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your might, with all your strength, lean not on your own understanding, because in all your ways you have to acknowledge him, because he will direct your path. The book of John 8:36 reminds us as daughters of the King that if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. It means it doesn't matter what my situation has dictated to me, because I am here and I can trust God. He will be able to cleanse me. Come on, somebody. He will be able to renew me. He will be able to shape me into the person that he has called me to be. I actually came as a messenger to be able to bring someone hope this morning as we celebrate women. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I want to cover the second point because it's important. I want to take you on a journey. This woman with the issue of blood, can we just zone into, I'm going to leave the 12-year-old for a second. Let's just zone into this woman with the issue of blood. The truth of the matter is I don't know how old she is, but I do know she's a woman who has suffered for far too long. She was separated from society. Can you just tell your neighbor she was separated? The reason why she was separated is that she would have been rejected and dejected because of what she was facing. Her medical condition would have made her ceremonially unclean in her day and time because she would have been unable to worship in the temple and also get in contact with people. And I'm asking the Lord, I'm saying, God, what if she was the mother? What if she was a wife? What if she was an aunt? What if she was a friend? Could that have meant for 12 years of her life, perhaps the people she loved, she might not have had access to? I want to paint a picture of what this woman could have been facing because of what she was going through. Could we read the book of Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25 to 27 for a second? It will show us exactly what was restricting her. Leviticus 15, and I'm going to read from the New King James Version. The Word of God says this to you and I. If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days other than at the time of her customary impurity, or if it runs beyond her usual time of impurity, all the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary impurity. she shall be unclean. Every bed on which she lies all the days of her discharge shall be to her as the bed of her impurity. Whatever she sits on shall be unclean, as the uncleanness of her impurity. Whoever touches those things shall be unclean. He shall wash his clothes, and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. So what I'm trying to demonstrate to us is circumstances that she would have been facing because of her situation. Can you just tell your neighbor there is a situation here? So imagine then how she would have been cut off from society, how she would have been set apart because she just did not qualify, because her situation separated her from having access to the people that she loved, having access to the people that were supposed to surround her with love in her most challenging moments. Do you know that there are situations you would face where you're asking yourself, where are the people that are supposed to back me up? Come on, somebody. Are there situations where you're going to face, where you're going to be asking, am I really alone? But can I tell somebody this morning, you can be cut off from people, but you still have access to Jesus. Come on, somebody. People might let you down, but Jesus will never let you down, because the word of God says he's omniscient, omnipresent, and come on, help me preach this morning. Hallelujah, somebody. I brought a message of hope to remind you and I that there is hope even in the darkest of moments, for as long as Christ is the anchor point. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just slap your neighbor and say, God is good. Hallelujah. I'm not preaching a gospel to misguide us. I did say that we will face tribulations. We will face challenges. We will face circumstances where you ask yourself as women, God, what did I do? God, why am I facing this situation? But you know what the Lord has spoken to me over the years? It's not necessarily what you're facing, but your response because of your identity in Christ. Come on, ladies. It is your response, because you come to a point to say, God, I know you are in control, because I may not understand what I'm going through, but I still choose to trust you. Thank you, Jesus. Can you just thank Jesus this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this woman with the issue of blood, now you understand she's in a place of desperation. Do you know that sometimes a place of desperation makes us to become more critical? I can tell you and assure you, there are situations where you and I can resolve as human beings. But I'm talking about situations where we know only God can come through. Hallelujah. Because when we are desperate for Jesus, it means we begin to have crazy faith. Hallelujah. Because people will look us like crazy, but we understand that if God does not come through, then we don't know what else would happen to us. I want to go to point number 3 this morning. She had faith to see her situation change. The reason why she had faith to see her situation change is because she was so determined to have an encounter with Jesus. And her faith pushed her beyond societal boundaries. Come on, somebody. Because the truth is, she wasn't allowed even to be in the crowd. Hallelujah. Have you ever been in a situation where you cannot fit in simply because people are looking down on you and thinking, girl, what are you doing here? But I'm talking about a woman who understood that I just need to mind my own business. Come on, just tell your neighbor, mind your own business, because I have an issue that Jesus Christ needs to intervene. Come on, because I am desperately seeking Jesus's intervention. Because if I care about you minding my business, I will miss out on what Jesus is about to do. Amen. Oh, we are so busy minding people's businesses and have no idea the pain that they've gone through. Oh, because you can't understand my pain, my praise, if you don't understand the pain that I've gone through. The reason why I preach the gospel almost all the days of my life since I was a very young is because I know how far Jesus has brought me from. Come on, somebody. Come on, come on. Oh, I'm not a person I used to be. Amen. Praise Jesus. He's brought me from the miry clay. Thank you, Jesus. I want to ask you a question. What's limiting you as a woman, as a mother this morning, irrespective of your age? What's limiting you from having an encounter with Jesus? For this woman, she had no permission to mix with other human beings. And guess what? The book, in the text in Luke chapter 8, verse 45, we see that she was part of a crowd. But even though she was part of a crowd, as she touches the hem, or your version will say the border of the garment that Jesus Christ was wearing, Jesus instantly asks, who touched me? Hallelujah. Who touched me? I learned so much from this woman. It's because every alternative that she tried outside of Jesus did not work. Hallelujah. I can assure you, as a woman, I like alternatives. Hallelujah, somebody. But there are times where your alternatives are no longer options because you've tried them all. Hallelujah, somebody. Can we just be real? Oh, thank you, Jesus. I hope you're preaching with me today. Let's be real on this pulpit this morning. You know that, you know, God has given me the grace, you know, to do human rights work, writing books and so on. But there are times, because I'm a very logical person, Jesus is just looking at me, have you finished your options yet? Because there are times where you can no longer use your human logic. Faith has to come through. Come on. Because you need Jesus to come through. Thank you, Jesus. Because for her, every alternative failed. I am grateful we are in a country where we are blessed with great professionals, great physicians, great doctors. Hallelujah. In our church, we had a young boy who almost died. We prayed over him. They told him he would pass away at 7 p.m. with cancer. God, healed him and brought him back to life. Hallelujah. Because the doctors reach a point and say, we've done what we can. 12 years is a long time. Hallelujah, somebody. 12 years is a long time. I want to encourage somebody. Where human beings fail, God cannot fail. Hallelujah, somebody. We are limited because we don't have the faith enough to believe that God can still do the impossible, even in the year 2022. Come on, somebody. The things we are reading in the Bible, they're not just text, but they are actually the reality of what God can do, because he promised us that we can do greater things. Hallelujah, church. Thank you, Jesus. Because I don't know about you, but there is no situation that is too hard for God to intervene. Can I give somebody hope this morning? I came to bring you hope. There is no situation that God cannot intervene, because he specializes in every areas of your life. Come on, somebody. It gives me hope because he specializes in every situation that you and I can face. Absolutely everything. But mind you, God does not always come the way we expect him to. Oh, you don't put him on the remote, all right? Even though I wish I could, but I can't. Because he's too supreme. He's unpredictable. He's the God who reigns. He owns the world in the palm of his hands. But if you could just, I could trust him with everything that I am and just say, God, the truth is, things may happen, but I still choose to trust you even when I don't understand. We try to understand God. If you did understand God, then he wouldn't be God. Let's be honest. Even my husband, I'm still working out to try and understand my husband. Praise the Lord if you are married in this place. Couples, you ask them, they've been married for 6 years and they're still trying to understand each other. Oh, God, okay, help us here. Amen. Can I give you point number 4? Yeah. Jesus saw her and Jesus knew her. Ha! Jesus saw her and he knew her, irrespective of the size of the crowd. Hallelujah. If you read your Bible in the New Testament, when they talk about crowds and multitude, I'm not talking about two people here. Come on, somebody. There was a multitude, but Jesus could still identify her in the midst of a crowd. Amen, amen.
Do you know the problem with the crowd? Can I share with you a problem with the crowd? Can you just nudge your neighbor? I just want to make sure they're not sleeping. Nudge your neighbor, please. Come on. The problem with the crowd is that the danger, let me tell you the danger. The danger with the crowd is that if you are not careful, you're going to be moving according to the crowd. We tell our church, we say to our church, don't come here at Voice of Hope as a crowd. Come on, somebody. Because Christianity is personal. Yeah. Oh, you didn't hear me. Christianity is personal. My relationship with God is not dependent on your relationship with God. Come on, somebody. Because I have to make a personal choice. The problem with the crowd, if the crowd is going astray, we also go astray. Please do not serve God as a crowd. Do not follow Jesus as a crowd. This woman understood they may be on their way to Jairus' house, but boy, guess what? I have to have an encounter with Jesus. Excuse me, Jesus is going to heal the 12-year-old, but I also need his encounter. Come on, somebody. Oh, Jesus is on his way, but I can still have his attention. Come on, someone. That is the grace of God upon your life. That is everywhere, all the time, every single second. You can still have access to him. No matter where you're at. This is the most amazing part of the story. Is that Jesus Christ acknowledges her in the midst of the crowd. And the very, very interesting thing, Peter thinks, Jesus, you've lost your mind. How long do I have? 5 minutes, 2 minutes? I'm just wrapping up this morning. Peter, the brave one, because everybody says the master has lost his mind here. Peter has a bit of a courage, a bit of guts, if we can call it in our Australian English. Are you serious? Do you know how many people are touching you? That's the reality of the story. But he says, I know who touched me. Do you know that your personal encounter with Jesus, irrespective of how many people are surrounding you, it is so personal. And this is what happens. I'm not going to read these verses, but I just want to tell you the end of the story here. When Jesus acknowledges her in the crowd, she comes forward, right? And she actually gives a reason as to why she touched him. Do you know that your pain and your struggles is not just for you? It is a testimony God can use to be a blessing to somebody else. What I've gone through is what God has given to me to share with his daughters as to how great he is, because if he can do it for me, he can do it for you, ladies. Hallelujah. And what happens here, Jesus heals her. As he's still healing her, they give Jairus what? The news that the daughter has passed away, right? As he's performing a miracle, Jairus' daughter has died. In the church context, doesn't it feel like God is always looking and paying attention to somebody else? Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, God, it seems like you're blessing that person. They got married. They have a good job. But can we just mind our business and say, God, you know my story. You know my timing, God. You know how you are taking me to where you are taking me. I am not here to compare myself with other people, because I am willing to wait for your promises for my life. Even though you've healed the woman with the issue of the blood, you are still God who can still heal Jairus' daughter, even if she was to die. That is what I came to say. Amen. Be bruised, but I am not broken. I'm going to end it here, saints, today. I don't have time to share my story in full. The woman who is standing before you, I am a testament that God can use anybody. If he can use me, he can use anybody. We see a story of hope Whatever your age you are, as a girl, as a woman, as the mother today, may you be reminded that we serve a King of Kings. Hallelujah. We serve the Lord of Lords. We serve the God who has it all and the God who is not absent. Even though you might face situations, He still knows you by name, because He says to us in the book of Jeremiah, He formed us into our mother's womb. Come on, somebody. And He already predestined our future for us, because He's the God who's all-knowing. Can I bring you good news this morning? You might be bruised, but you are never broken. And guess what? Even if you were broken, He can still use the pieces in your life to create a masterpiece. Can you give God a hand clap of offering this morning? Bless you, church.
Yeah, don't go yet. Stay here. Stay here. Stay here. You know what? Thank you so much. You know, you've ministered to me, and I'm not even a woman. You know, I just loved it. Thank you so much for your word. I'm very sure that all the ladies here, we walk away knowing that, yeah, we may be bruised, but we're not broken. And even if we're broken, we're still beautiful. Amen. God is good. So can I just do something? I'm going to ask all the ladies to be upstanding, because I want you to pray for these beautiful ladies at Sunlife Church. And if you are watching us from afar, why don't you be upstanding as well too? All the ladies here, whether you're a mom, a daughter, a grandmother, I'm going to believe right now, as Pastor Gracia prays, God's going to minister to some of you. Maybe right now, some of you feel, yeah, I can relate to that. I feel that I've bruised. I've been misunderstood. But you know what? God, oh, he loves me. I'm not broken. I'm still beautiful. I can still be used. So sister, can you pray now for these beautiful ladies?
Yes.
And ladies, can I just ask you to do this, just to open up your hands if you're receiving.
Yes.
In faith, receiving as God begins to move in your situation.
Oh,
sister, over to you. Let's pray.
Father, it is an absolute privilege to be your daughters, oh God, from the front of the room, side to side. Father, I place your daughters into your hands, oh God. May you remind us that, Father, we are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
That, Father, you've got our backs, oh God. That, Father, nobody can place a full stop in our lives except for you, God, who has the final say.
Amen.
I pray for that woman who has gone through relationships breakdown,
Amen.
Who has been disappointed in her employment, who has gone through grief, who has gone through challenges that even she cannot explain, Lord. I pray for each one of us, oh God, because your word says to us, you will give us beauty for ashes. I just
Amen.
Pray that there will be a daughter this morning who is going to be reminded of who you are, that their identity is placed in you,
Amen.
Because you have accomplished it at the cross of
Amen.
Calvary. You paid the price, Jesus. You made a way, oh God. May you breathe a fresh anointing in this place, oh God. May you restore someone, oh God, their mindset, Father, to believe that you can do it again, oh God. To believe that your son, Jesus, died for them and their identity is rooted in you, oh God. Because the truth is, they may be bruised, but they are not broken, because they are into your hands, oh God. We pray for new life, oh God, for those who need help to raise their children, for those who need help in their marriages, in their relationships, for young girls who are trusting you, God, in their schooling, they are trusting you, God, in their future spouses, oh God. That, Lord, you will place your fresh anointing, a new revelation of who they are in you, Jesus. Let today be a Sunday of healing as we celebrate the gift of motherhood, oh God, but also the gift, Father, of womanhood in our lives, oh God, that, Father, it will be a new hope beginning in Sun Life Church in the city of Perth, in the mighty name of Jesus, that women will walk out with their heads held high, their shoulders up, because they know their identity in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Let's be upstanding, church. Let's be upstanding. Let's stand up. Let's worship our Lord. Let's end on a high. Let's worship.